All right, Shalom, and welcome back to Daily Devotion. I trust we are all doing good in the Lord, and His mercies are renewed unto us every day. I will continue with my thought from where I left off yesterday. And for a quick recap, I'll read Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 13 again. And I read, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, the points I majored on yesterday were: 1. Have appeared unto all men. Our Lord Jesus Christ had been offered as the propitiation of the sins of the world. The grace is also teaching us to deny all ungodliness. And as our God is a holy God, and because he was not able to withstand the ungodly living in the first world, he had to destroy the first world. And definitely, he's going to do the same in our time. And the only consolation is to accept the free gift of God that brings salvation. And that is the grace of God. Worldly lust is of the world, within God hates. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, today I'm going to major on the remaining salient points in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, I read above. 1. Living soberly. Living soberly. Now, so living soberly is when we are able to control ourselves through self-discipline. What are our passions and our affections? Are we able to control our passions and our affections, or they take the upper part of our lives? For as much as we are Christians, we must be able to control our thoughts and not let temptation lead us into sin. Now, the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind. Satan keeps bombarding our thoughts, who we must steadfastly resist all the time in the faith. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it reads, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Living godly. Now, the opposite of ungodliness is to live godly in a way that is pleasing unto God. This sort of godly living in a believer's life requires faith. And our faith overcomes the world. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it reads, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." To live godly also requires going an extra mile in our Christian walk with the Lord. For our generation is very corrupt in all spheres of life. And it is only through godly living that we'll be able to be blameless and live in a generation that is so much corrupt and shine as light in the world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We must shine as a light to the world. As the Bible says, no man lights a candle and put it under a bushel. Lastly, living righteously. For to be righteous, we need to conform to God's will and whatever had been appointed of God to be obeyed. That is living the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we can only know the will of God by studying His Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So it is only the Word that will enable us to live righteously. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it reads, "Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." Noah, a preacher of righteousness, was perfect and upright in his generation, so he was able to escape God's wrath of ungodliness during his day. Is it not the same in our day? There is filth everywhere in this present world. The only way of escape is to live in the grace of God that had appeared unto all men. To conclude my thoughts on the grace of God that brings salvation, now, God could not accept someone who was unacceptable, but He could impart something that will make humans acceptable. This something was grace, and it flows dependent on the merits of God's perfect Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, God's grace that brings salvation is the acceptance of God's favor in Christ. Meaning, a person could be identified with Jesus Christ when God looked at him. He saw instead the merit that Christ had won through his self-sacrifice on the cross. God looked at the sinner and saw the perfect Son, not the sinner. Thank you, precious ones, for your time. Until I come your way again by daily devotion, stay blessed. Bye.